In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said, "Come out." There are some parishioners, doubtless in my experience, who feel that I took that as a model for ministry, but I'm getting better. There is, I think, a phenomenon, I've never really experienced it, of being given a gift by someone you treasure and love, but it's an awful gift. You do not want it seen in your house. So what happens? You hide it away, you secrete it, and when that person comes to visit, then you bring it out. Now, the same sort of thing happens, I think, with the Feast of the Ascension. We conveniently secrete it on a Thursday, so we don't really have to look at it on a Sunday. Of course, it insists on being part of our creed. I wonder why it is that so many Christians over centuries have been somewhat leery of this Ascensiontide festival. Maybe it's because we focus too much on the aerodynamics of the Ascension rather than the theology. And yet the Ascension is a paradigm of farewell, of leave-taking, of letting go, a paradigm that we experience from our departure from the womb to our departure from this life. We all have this in common, practicing farewells, letting go. Yesterday, I could not exorcise from my mind a song that was made famous by Peter Cook and Dudley Moore in their early 1960s BBC show, Not Only, But Also. Only a song of 80 seconds. A song found, says one critic, to be funny and rather affecting. A song that is part of the psyche of British folk now in their 50s and 60s. And, according to my conversation with Peter, not only British folk. Now, this is a song I think appropriate for the Ascension. I promised my wife I would not sing the lyrics. It's really tough. Maybe I'll pluck up courage at 10. But here are the lyrics. Now is the time to say goodbye, goodbye. Now is the time to yield a sigh, yield, yield. Now is the time to wend our way until we meet again some sunny day. Goodbye, goodbye, we're leaving now, tatty bye. Goodbye, we wish you all goodbye. Fa-da-da-da, fa-da-da-da, and it goes on. Learning to say goodbye. Maybe, without getting too serious about it, maybe one of the reasons that I remember that song, apart from the fun of watching Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, is that saying goodbye is part of my and your primal psychic makeup. Though often, we secrete it away as long as we can. The account of the Ascension told at the end of Luke's Gospel and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostle, the account of the Ascension referenced so clearly in our prayer for today, O God, you have exalted your Son with great triumph into heaven. The Ascension is a most perfect paradigm of farewell, of mystic primal proportions. Nick Baines, who is Bishop of Bradford in England, writes this. With the Ascension, they lost Jesus again. And it was now up to them to work out what this meant for them and their community for the future. No lovely, happily ever after end to a sanitized story, but a harsh dose of realism for people who now face the same challenges of living truthfully in a world of death and threat and suffering. The Ascension portrays a most perfect paradigm, not only of farewell, but just as important, it portrays a model for surviving farewell and surviving in a healthy, functional way. It is a model of honesty, empowerment, and perspective. Again, our prayer for today: do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exhort us to the place where our Saviour Christ has gone before. And I see this model, this paradigm of farewell, in all of our, I have to say, three oddly gathered readings for today. I even phoned Anne-Marie and started off a conversation yesterday. I'm having trouble with the sermon. She didn't offer to preach, by the way. Well, you're perceptive, you realize that. Stage one, honesty. The pain and the ache of farewell must not be denied. Faced with the prison-destroying earthquake, the jailer fears for his security. He reckons he's going to say farewell to his job, to his reputation, with his life. And faced with the physical absence of Jesus in Revelation, the church faces injustice and separation. And in John, faced with separation from their beloved Lord, the Christian, we are told, confronts the possibility of fragmentation and disunity, far more worse than experienced in contemporary politics as of this week. Stage one, honesty. Stage two, empowerment. The one who must bid farewell is urged, is encouraged also to say welcome. As we say farewell, so we say welcome to divine and to corporate strengths far beyond the imaginings of our human minds. Acts 16. Once he puts on the light, now there's a sermon, once he puts on the light, the jailer sees he is not alone. Paul and Silas and the others are there. And in Revelation, the church is energized by the angel, the divine messenger. And in John, the Christian is embraced into union with Jesus, even, unbelievably so, even as the Father and the Son are one. Those who say farewell must seek comfort, empowerment, strength, and they must not go it alone. It's not uncommon for me and perhaps for you to hear from those who are bereaved that they were so comforted when the announcement of a death was made. They were so comforted at the time of the funeral. And then nobody calls. Nobody visits. Nobody mentions the name of the deceased. And finally, stage three, perspective. Now, I know very few Latin phrases. I mean, I could copy them and say there I know them, but I don't. But one I've learnt, and it's this: sub specie aeternitatis. You're all saying that in your mind, aren't you? Sub specie eternitatis. And it means in the light of eternity. Perspective. You see, those who are saying farewell need to be given a larger perspective than their most profound loss. Gaining perspective is a crucial, healthy stage in surviving farewell. So as the prison story in Acts continues, we see that the long-awaited, large perspective of salvation is given to the jailer. And by the way, he and all his family are baptized, children in that family. So Baptists, I love you, but I'm happy to baptize children. The church in morning in Acts is awarded with the perspective of the bright morning star. And in John, the Christian is invited to stand alongside Jesus to gain from him perspective. Honesty, empowerment, perspective, three stages of a healthy, functional farewell. Is there life after goodbye? Yes, definitely. Now, our experience of farewell, though, ranges from the profound to the petty. Yesterday, a cherished pair of shoes of mine that I've had for years started to tear at the top. I still wore them that whole day, but I now have to say goodbye. And it's a farewell, though of petty proportions. But each experience, profound or petty, can shake us to the core, as suddenly it resonates with all the other farewells of our lives. Of course we say farewell to those we love, but we also say farewell to long-cherished hopes and dreams, abilities and talents. I have to accept that I will never be a ballet dancer. It's tough saying farewell to that dream. And on this Mother's Day, of course we rejoice with those who rejoice, but we stand with those whose experience of mother is lacking, whose dreams and hopes to be mother have been wretchedly dashed by circumstances, physical and personal. It's tough saying goodbye on this day to images that are just not our own. How sad that quasi-Saint Hallmark wrenched this feast from Lent, where it belonged in the old, old prayer book as Mothering Sunday, to May. Imagine the confusion of South Dakotan Episcopalians when I announced in my first newsletter for March in 1989 that we would be celebrating Mothering Sunday on the third Sunday of Lent. I had many phone calls to correct me. In his autobiography, So Anyway, John Cleese writes this: Dad once described to me during the First World War that he witnessed a wounded soldier crying out for his mother. I wondered, why on earth would he cry for his mother? When over the years my friends recounted how their mother was their best friend, I simply thought, that must be wonderful. It has been said, and I still struggle to find the author, lunch to anyone who does, that the whole of life is filled with experiences of farewells, so that we may practice for that inevitable, final, consummate farewell. And how's that working for you? Amen.